What if I told you that a man who played in over 1,000 games for the Texas Rangers would leave a mark on ticket history as profound as the one left by the moron dog? What if I told you that a shirtless stoner who grew up in the Cleveland Stadium bleachers would one day get to roam the manicured outfield of the ballpark in Arlington? This is the story of the Rusty Greer Fly Ball Challenge. The year was 1999, and Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell had only been collectively known as Bad Radio for a few short months. Afternoon drive show The Hardline had a weekly show with Rangers outfielder Rusty Greer. While details remain in dispute, it seems that Greer was used as a pawn of sorts in the Hardline's playful war on their midday brethren.
With Rusty, they would often talk about, these guys want you to be traded, or these guys don't think you're that great of an outfielder, or these guys, I don't really even know how it started, but it might have started with, you know, that Bob and Dan think catching a fly ball is easy. And then Rusty said, yeah, they ought to come out here and try it.
You know, one of the things when you move here is you learn about guys that locally everyone values, like Mickey Mantle. And, you know, from a standpoint of nationally, we've heard of Rusty Greer. We know who he is, but we had no idea how revered he was and how, you know, he's kind of like the Rangers version of Bill Bates. And I don't want that to be in any way misconstrued. Rusty was a heck of a player, but he was really worshipped by the Hardline and by the Hardline masses.
Rangers legend Rusty Greer.
I think we got to talking. Something happened on my show on the Hardline, and then we got to talking about who was better. And then I think Dandy Dan issued a challenge, if I'm not mistaken. Like I said, he liked to get on me quite a bit, so we had a little thing going back and forth where I wasn't afraid to jump on them when I was on my show.
All right, we have a little staged buffoonery for everyone today because this is Dan McDowell's big day, and he joins us up here. How you doing?
Hi, Hardline.
You ready for this, Mr. Dan?
I'm mentally prepared, yes.
You're mentally prepared?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm physically prepared.
From a radio standpoint, we knew we were outclassed being on the ticket. We knew that we were the weak link in 1999, and hopefully we've smoothed off some of those rough edges. But athletically, when we got here and we look and see Mike and Greg, we thought, okay, if nothing else, we at least have to be able to be athletically a better radio show than they are, right? That has to be possible. You know, they got Expo running the board, and it's Mike and Greg. I mean, come on. If Dan can't outperform them, even if they're not actually going to perform, but they're just going to have their, you know, their awkward eye on Dan, I thought he could probably get this done.
All right, anything you want to predict? Any trash talking?
Yeah, I'll trash talk against the Hardline, at least. They predicted two between them, and I predict I'll at least double that.
I predicted one for you, but after seeing you, I think that you have a shot here getting 5 or 6.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Yeah, 5, 6?
Chuck Morgan Rowan, sharp-dressed man.
I'm sticking with two.
You're sticking with two?
I'm sticking with two. I think this is going to be a totally different animal once they start getting hit out there, too.
I think it's great. There's no sun out here. I think the backdrop will be better now than if there were, you know, full of people.
It's a lot harder to get it out of these white, billowy clouds.
And, you know, a fungo bat, it'll just come up nice and soft and land right in the mitt. Is Bob up there?
Yeah, Bob's here.
Looking for some support.
Hello, Dan.
Here, Bob.
Yes, I got you with 8.
You're still at 8?
Yep.
All right, 8? Very good.
Yeah.
Exterminator is a realist.
He
That's
couldn't
all he...
catch 8 if he stayed out here all day.
Hey, who got the best score on the Wonderlic? That's all you got to know. Bob knows what he's talking about.
I put
about.
This into the computer, and I came up with 8.
The Hardline made it sound like it was a act of miraculous proportions that someone could catch a fly ball who wasn't a Major League Baseball player. Like, that was only something a Major League Baseball player could possibly ever do, is catch a batting practice fly ball or something. And Dan's like, no, I mean, it's not that hard. It might be hard to scale a wall like Bo Jackson. It's not that hard to catch just a can of corn if you set up underneath it. And so that was the impetus. And I'm sure on the Rusty Greer show, they asked Rusty how he thought Dan would do in a fly ball catching situation. And of course, Rusty, who certainly understood how the show worked, was very cynical about Dan and his, you know, odd posture in athletic endeavors, being able to catch a fly ball. He was willing to bet against it.
In fact, McDowell was so successful in his warm-up attempts, the decision was made to up the difficulty level. Again, Rusty Greer.
If that's what the challenge calls for, I'll go up there and give Nappy a little more instruction on what to do, and we'll see if Dan can run him down in the gap.
But I think that's what we ought to do.
We want Dan to lay out for one, too.
The smells already.
Well, we're doing too well, Bob.
We can't make him run all over the outfield.
No, but Ed Napoleon is hitting right to him, and now Dan McDowell has got the smarmy Ricky Henderson snap.
Is he hitting him high enough? That's what I'm concerned about.
He's making some pretty good grabs out here. Can you guys see that?
Yeah, he is.
He just made a running grab there.
Yes, he did. And this is starting to concern me a bit.
Me too.
He's got the ESPN highlights.
The ESPN highlight team is playing here at the ballpark in Arlington.
That highlight music was provided by Rangers PA announcer and director of ballpark entertainment, Chuck Morgan.
I uncovered a scouting report from that day. Little did Dan know that anybody that takes a major league field, we have scouts readily available to see what kind of a player they are. And I did uncover some of the information from the scout's name was Cinders O'Brien. And he did say that Dan saw the ball well off the bat. He had a good nose for the ball. He could correctly identify four state capitals. He had weak, rubbery arms, but he had a good feel for wood.
Now, are you pretty impressed with him so far, Rusty?
I'm very impressed with Dan. He's snatching balls around. He's got total confidence in his ability. Yeah, the ball down the line, the ball that was hit real short, we can't, we'll discount those.
Okay, so Rusty Greer giving Dan McDowell two. Now, Dan's about to complete another catch here. Wow, looking good back at the warning track there.
Yes, that's right.
Snagged it.
All right, now, backing him up, though.
How many more does Dan have, Reiner?
Five more. All right, the next one on its way. Dan's got to come in for this a little bit. He's getting there, and he makes the catch. He's
making one-handed catches on him.
All right, that is four.
Hey, now.
Four out of six for Dan McDowell.
Now, Rusty, there were a couple of them that Dan just didn't hustle on.
Right, and I think
now.
Those should count.
And those should count.
Now, here's one. He's got to go to his right and come in.
Look at this.
Will
he's
get there? Oh. No, he will not.
Off the ship.
Okay, the other two were lack of hustle.
Well, so
was
that.
Possible. We'll just call it... What can we call it? Just a misjudged ball or...
No, just plain poor play.
Plain poor play.
All right, Chuck, the circus music is inappropriate, Chuck.
Or was it? As the challenge wound down, McDowell made a decision that not only warranted circus music, but it would also alter ticket history forever.
All I can remember, and I'm sorry to say this, all I can remember is Dan took his shirt off. So that's what I remember about that incident.
Last one. He's caught five out of nine. Can he break even in this thing?
All right, go gloveless. Gloveless.
Shirtless.
Without the net.
Shirtless.
And without the net.
No, let's go. We got to move it.
Here he goes. Shirtless.
Oh, he's doing it.
Rusty, take a look at that. That's what you're up against.
Is that a belly button
or a gunshot wound?
Dad McDowell is just taking his shirt off, folks. I can't believe this.
Without the glove. No glove.
All right, the next one. On the way. Now he's going to try to bare hand this. He's under it.
Caught it as his amorphous belly was just jiggling all over God's green earth. He did it.
Oh, boy.
Six out of ten.
I am too.
Well, he had some work to do then, and I imagine he still has some work to do. But I will say this. I'll give him some credit. He showed up, and he performed well, caught some balls. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, he may have to refresh my memory on this. I want to say he took his shirt off to catch these balls for some reason. I don't know why, but want to show his guns and his pecs off, I guess.
As you well know, I'm a P1 from day one, so I was very aware of Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell. I knew when they came on. I knew when they got together. I knew when they named Bad Radio. And so it was pretty clear that there was a possibility that on a major league field, Dan would take his shirt off.
I would venture to say if he's not the most out of shape person to ever field balls in the outfield out there, he's in the top two.
Dan McDowell. Dan, you hustled there on a few of them. You did take the shirt off. You did catch it mittless. What's going through your mind right now? You got to be feeling like $1 million, stiff as a board in places. Yeah, I feel pretty good. I think Rusty's feeling a little nervous right now. It's probably Melvin was watching from up there. So maybe next time I'll perform with the bat, and you know, we can go head-to-head that way.
Now, you did make the comment that you refused to lay out for a few of them because why?
Oh, no. Well, you don't want to rush those short pop-ups. Ask Rusty, because if you do, you saw what happened when I did the second time around. You might overrun it a little bit, and then you'll get a batter will get a double out of it.
Not, you claimed you didn't want to get injured. Why?
Oh, well, because I'm a big bat.
Not to mention the divot hit leaving the outfield.
Your big bats on the team don't want to risk injury to a wrist or something by diving for a meaningless fly ball.
Yeah, you didn't want to injure that million-dollar bat.
That's right. Important part of the team.
Yeah, and honestly, to me, I just remember it being really, really important to kind of for Dan to kind of feel like one of the guys at the station. I know that seems weird now. But 90 days in for Dan, and remember, I had the benefit of being here an extra year without Dan. So any of Dan's abrasive qualities and, you know, his odd first impressions on people, I got a year head start where I could be the overly politically nice, whatever. And so if the guys who have been here, if the pioneers of the ticket did not know what to make of Dan, it's kind of understandable. And then this was kind of a chance on their turf. To kind of see what Dan was all about.
Rusty, quick thoughts. Dan McDowell from Cleveland, new at the ticket, comes in here and makes good on his claim.
$600. And you know what? For the mittless grab and the shirtless grab, I'm going to pick up the other $400.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
$1,000 to charity just because King Henry VIII of the ticket here took off his shirt and spilled out all over the green.
I always thought this was like the thing that gave everybody the go-ahead that, okay, this guy might be all right as far as this guy's not Rocco or this guy's not, you know, we had held him at arm's length for a while, but he might be able to be one of our crew here.
Hey, so this means that that Bad Radio, both the hosts have barehanded a baseball in this stadium.
Yep, that's ballpark. Right.
That's right.
Well, I don't think anybody else in town can make that claim.
We got skill.
No other radio station
That's
can
right.
make that claim. Yes, yes.
One was a barehanded catch by a bare-headed guy. The other a barehanded catch by a bare-chested guy.
Bare belly.
Take that, BAP.
Yeah, let's see you top that.
It really seemed like a big station event where, you know, the hard line was involved and Gordo was involved and promotions was out there being involved. And I can remember distinctly driving back home and driving through downtown Dallas and hearing Mike and Greg do the kind of the post game show, the whole thing, and them talking about how great it was and talking about how this Bob and Dan aren't that bad type thing. And just feeling, I remember it's the first moment I really felt like we might get renewed for year number two on our contract.
Year number two was renewed, as were years 3 through 15. And you can join us each month in celebrating 15 years of Bad Radio with 15 for 15.